What's up, fam? I'm Eros Jack Settlement. Join me today, as always, my co-host, a longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Jack, we are now 27 and 26 years old, respectfully. And I've learned that we are now entering a very, very dangerous, difficult part of our lives. And that era that we are entering is the bachelor party era. I just got back from a bachelor party. I was in Denver, Colorado this weekend. This is my second bachelor party I've been on in the last year. I went to Nashville as well. It is hard to get through these weekends and to remain a human being on the other end. I went on a golf trip to Denver. Jack, I played 36 holes of golf in one day. Two rounds, back to back. Do you know how hard that is? I feel like I should get a Nobel Peace Prize. At first, I was like, why am I not going to enjoy it? I suck at golf. Why am I doing this to myself?
Did you enjoy it?
So it was like 55 degrees and raining and cold when we started at 8 a.m. On the first round. And we play the front nine. I'm miserable driving. I'm so cold. I'm playing decent, by the way, relatively. And then the second back nine, or the back nine on the first round, I'm like, I don't really know if this is going to, I'm going to be able to do this. I'm playing like shit. You know what? Let me drink about it, right? So you have your Gatorade, your golf course Gatorade, your transfusions and whatnot, your beers. And by the end of the first 18, I was feeling good. I was feeling good. And then the front nine of this of the second round was probably my peak. And then it was a steady decline on the last nine holes where it's like, get me the hell out of here. My feet hurt. My neck hurt. I'm cold. I'm wet. I was sore the next day. I didn't know you could be sore from playing golf. That's never been a thing. We've always said golfing is not a sport. It's an activity unless you find yourself to be good at it, in which case you can call it a sport, which I am not. But hats off to golf and bachelor parties in general. They kick my ass and I just don't have it like I used to whatsoever. 3 days of just, I don't got it like I used to. And that's on self-awareness right there.
I feel like since we started this pod, you've been slowly admitting that you don't have it like you've used to, but you've been doing it for like 5 years. So I think the people are starting to wonder, when did you have it? It was pretty much just in college, or did you have anything in the tank after school?
I think I had a little bit in the tank after school. I guess I'm just, what I'm saying is I'm washed and I'm not afraid to say it. Very washed. I think you are too, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Sleep at like 9:30 yesterday when a lot of the crew was trying to go out clubbing. Speaking of washed, I'm washed. The King is washed. The Lakers are washed. I think it's over.
3-0, huh? I was in Denver this weekend. There were a lot of Laker fans, like a lot. There were Laker fans coming from New York on my plane. I landed at like, I want to say the game started at 6:30 local time, and I landed in Denver at like 4. There were people literally flying in to go to Denver to watch this game. Are the Lakers done? They're down 3-0. They can't stop Jamal Murray. Like it's a nosebleed. Jokic didn't even have any really outside of game one. He wasn't really spectacular in this series so far. But, I mean, you wouldn't know that the Nuggets are a good basketball team unless you were on Bleacher Report's feed last night, where somebody in their social media room strangled the intern that was tweeting from the account and finally said, tweet something about the Nuggets, and it was like pulling teeth. That tweet was unbelievable. But, Jack, if there's one guy that's going to come back from 3-0, like, I know I am delusional when it comes to LeBron. I think he can do it. Will he do it? Probably not.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is I don't want to – I'm fine, obviously, calling the series a wrap. They're down 3-0. No one comes back from 3-0. If you want to sit there and say, well, if there's one guy, sure, maybe he is the guy, I guess. I don't know what makes him the guy just because of the 3-1 comeback. Like, does he have comeback? But is that's not really LeBron's thing, though, you know? It's funny, like, he's the guy now, but, like, if you remove the three, he doesn't really have a history of coming back. He's pretty much a front runner anytime they've had success in the postseason, right?
I guess so, but it's LeBron, so it's like, why not? Come on.
Well, I think the problem is that it's LeBron, and that is the problem, which is he just can't get to that level anymore. I think it is finally, and it's not hating, it's just acknowledgement that at 38 in year 20, after he's broken the scoring record, he just doesn't have the juice. Same as Mage. They're great at what they do.
All-time greats
just ran out of juice. And like, I bet LeBron to score 30 last night at halftime. He attended the half. And it just never feels like he's going to get there anymore. When in the past, you literally could have expected these guys to go and get, like, he just doesn't have the juice. And I think he isn't expected to be the best player on the team anymore. So when you say you can't doubt LeBron, it's really, well, can I doubt Anthony Davis? Like, obviously, can I doubt Darvin Ham, Austin Reeves, D'Lo? Like, yeah. So I think they've lost, you know, after game one, the story was, well, the Lakers are winning the series because they got Rui Hachimura. And then,
who's
you
been
know,
balling?
Game, he has been balling, but it was just funny that that was the narrative. And then game two, it was like, well, the Lakers really should have won that one. But once they get home, and then they really should have won game three, but they squandered, you know, another lead in the fourth. So I think it's done. I don't think that's obviously not a hot take.
Yeah, to your point, I have to admit something. This series, just specifically this series, maybe I didn't watch enough Lakers ball in the regular season, was genuinely the first time I ever said to myself, and not in a real, like, bad negative way, it's just there's levels to it where I go, LeBron looks old?
Yeah.
Like, that's the first time I had this feeling. Like, forget, like, actual physical traits that you can decipher from an up-and-coming star and a star that is towards the tail end of their career. It's the vibe, right? Like, the vibe of prime LeBron James doesn't let that ball just fumble out of his hands in the second quarter on that dunk. Like, the prime LeBron, from just a vibe standpoint, makes at least one of those threes towards the end of the game. Like, maybe. It's like when LeBron's second stint in Cleveland, the LeBronto years is what I like to refer to it. Like, every single night it was just like his points, rebounds, assists were like 55 and a half. You're just like, is he going to have a 30-point triple-double or a 40-point and come one assist short or something? And it's like, yeah, those aren't really the vibes anymore. Whereas, like, if this was second stint Cleveland LeBron, like, you remember what him and Kyrie did in that four-game stretch to come back against Golden State. It just doesn't feel like LeBron, and this is what always happens. Like, it's me saying it, right? And he probably comes out tomorrow and has 50, 10, and 10.
No. And that's the thing. Those days are over.
Well, I will always it's like, I'll always hang on to something like that with any type of star. It's like they always have something left.
For sure. But I think it is officially time to put that and those vibes to rest. And, you know, if you take a step back and if you didn't know about LeBron James, right? Let's say you woke up from a 20-year coma and you heard that LeBron James averages this amount of points. You watch him play so far in the postseason. But then you also looked at the Western Conference and acknowledged that, well, the Nuggets are the number one seed. The Golden State Warriors were the team they played in the conference semis, who were the sixth seed. The Grizzlies were the team they beat in the first round, barely, and they were missing their two, you know, bigs in the series. And then you start to realize, like, oh, so maybe the Lakers are a good team, but they're not a great team. And they're literally facing that the best player in the NBA right now who has depth around him and playoff performers. So I think it's an ode to Michael Porter Jr., the career high six assists last night. The Nuggets just, they seem to have the vibes. And that doesn't mean I think they're going to win the championship. I got to see who comes out of the East. But this series is over to me. And I don't think we really need to, like, hot take it or anything. Like, there's so many people out there who are just struggling with the fact that, like, Jokic is the number one seed and he's going to go to the NBA Finals. It's, like, kind of a very normal it's a normal thing, you know?
Yeah, my whole reason behind the Lakers have a chance to come back is just, like, you look at the Nuggets and you're just like, nah. Like, that's kind of all I really got.
That's,
and I have
you
something
guys,
to admit.
Though.
No, of course. And I have something to admit that'll contradict that a little bit. And it's, I would like a little bit of finger snap at least. Nikola Jokic is good at basketball. All right, like I'll admit that. It's like Bleacher Report last night had to admit that the Nuggets are good, and I'll admit that Nikola Jokic is a good basketball player. I'm a man. I can admit when I'm wrong. I don't even think I ever said he was bad.
I mean, good. You've pretty good. You've said pretty some good. Things.
Jamal Murray's carrying them this series, though. Don't get it twisted.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. And by transitive, since I beat Jamal in a shooting competition, you know, just do the math, everyone.
I'll tell you one thing, though. As much as I can say I think this series is over, but I see it. I see a way. Mm-mm. Not with Boston. Not in that series. 2-0. Games in 3.5 hours. Series is over. Series is over.
So you're the
Boston
problem.
Has a beta. Boston has a you're beta mentality, issue. And that's just how I
you're
feel.
You're the issue.
What am I the you're issue gonna, with?
You're going to be my cuck of the week, and it's not going to be in a way that you're excited about because you're the problem. The series is not.
What's
over.
Wrong with what's wrong with calling a series over where the team's up 2-0 and going home? Is that a fucking crime?
Because they're -180 in the series. That shit ain't over. That's the definition of not over.
It's over.
So lay it.
It's over.
All right, let's bet it. Let's bet it. Let's bet it.
Straight up?
You're such a loser.
I bet you straight up that the Lakers would beat the Nuggets, and you won't give me this? I gave you a boost.
That, no, I don't know
this series
what
is
got
over.
Into you.
Boston has a beta mentality. They can't be trusted. They think they can be trusted because they walked over the other losers down I-95 south in Philadelphia. But this is a different team in Miami. It just is, led by Jimmy
this
Butler and
Eric. Problem. Harrison. This is what I want to get away from, is this overreactionary. Now, obviously, Miami's up
2-0. It's 2-0 and they're going home.
It's a huge swing and they're going home. I get that. But this is where you sit back and you're like, all right, what do we know about Boston? What did you listen to hours and hours and hours of podcasts about? This is when they play their good ball, right? So backs against the wall. Tell me the difference.
The difference is their mentality, right? They knew that they were our daddies, no matter what. Like, they knew they owned us, and that they were like, yeah, fuck it, it's the Sixers. Something will happen. We'll probably beat them anyway. Like, they didn't have to worry about that, right? And that they were up 2-1, 3-2, and we just, or not 2-1, 3-2 at home. And they just knew, like, eh, something will go our way. It's the Sixers. That's not the same thing with Miami. They're actually afraid of Miami. Boston.
They beat them last year, though. They beat them last year.
Barely. Game 7. Barely. Jimmy Butler. They know that this team is waiting for them. And the point is, while they had adversity against us, in the back of their head, they're like, okay, it's baby bro. They see an equal playing field against Miami, and they see Jimmy Butler on the other side, and that's why they're scared. I think this thing's over in 5.
I think at minimum we're going 6 games here. At the very minimum. I'm not saying the Celtics are going to win the series. All I'm saying is we know when Boston plays well. We know that Miami does not offer a home court advantage that anyone's going to fear. We know that Boston's a better team. And this is always the part that I think people forget. They see 2-0. That means Miami's won 2, Abe, and Boston's won 0. So they're undefeated versus defeated in the series. But both games have come down to what? A couple shots here and there. Now, if you want to say the Heat forced the Celtics to throw up all over themselves, I'll give the Heat credit for that. They play because they have that confidence in Jimmy Butler. Who did the Sixers choose over him?
Ben Simmons and Brett Brown.
Can we just do a very quick ranked on which process moves, like, what would you rank 1, 2, 3 the worst?
No, there's a graphic.
Oh, there is. So,
this has been circulated. I gotta find it. Process moves on Twitter, maybe.
Wait, that's the a answer, Twitter account?
No, I'm just typing in keywords to try and find this. Yeah. Which I can't really find it, but it was like the Kawhi shot not falling.
No, but that's not a decision. I'm talking.
Oh, there's more decisions. Ben, there's
Ben over
Markel,
Jimmy.
There's
Fultz, Noel, Okafor.
There's Michael Carter Williams regressing. What would you have changed? All this stuff. Yeah, it all sucks, Jack. It's all number one. Yeah, keeping, and we all made fun of the Jimmy Butler contract as well. We're like, you're going to be paying 38-year-old Jimmy Butler $47 million a year? That wasn't just Philly fans. That was fans everywhere. Yeah, we're a fucking joke. I know, Jack. All right? I know. I know.
My bad. On Scary Sunday, I didn't mean to go to that place.
No, it's fine.
Jimmy Butler.
I'm immune to it. And that's the difference. I said that going in. I was like, I don't care that he just dropped 50 against us in Game 7. Tatum can't be trusted game in and game out in this type of series. Jimmy Butler can, and that's the difference. Jimmy Butler's a top six player when it's the playoffs. It's wild.
Is there anyone else that makes this leap from regular season to postseason? This gap of a leap?
Tobias in the first round, usually.
Yeah,
Jamal true. Murray, it feels like. I mean, it was the bubble, but now it's real, and Jamal Murray kind of seems to be doing the same thing as well.
Yeah. Spider in the first.
There are a handful of players that do it. There are a handful of players that can do it in the opposite direction, if you want to do that list.
They also take the same I-95 South route.
Yeah, and there's also some big appetites out there that some of those players should get $200 million.
We're not going down that path. All right, so you're going Lakers and Heat. What's your finals? I can't.
No,
tell.
I'm
gonna
go Heat Nuggets. The NBA TV finals that the NBA has been just wishing for. I mean, we just don't watch that. I'm sorry, you don't watch that. All right. Those are two of the worst atmosphere. Stop. Those are two of the worst crowds. Like, the Denver crowd has been miserable. I'm sorry, it just has. Miami, they show up in the third quarter. They go to the bar, and then by the end, maybe they're in their seats waving a white flag. But I'm going to go Heat, Nuggets, and that series just stinks, dude. Don't tell me people like that or want that.
I am going to do the cuck of the week. I'm skipping over the mage. We'll talk mage in a minute. But the cuck of the week is the media. And you know who's in the media in this case? It's you. It's you, Abe, because
you quite literally own a media company.
This is the reason why you guys are the cucks of the week. What agenda are you pushing for ABC and ESPN that you care about finals ratings? What agenda do you have that says we can't build up the stories of the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat in the playoffs? We need to beat them down. We need to act like this is the worst finals in NBA history. You think the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns were relevant 3 years ago? Do you think San Antonio Spurs, who the fuck was a Spurs fan before they became a dynasty? Why is everyone on the internet, one, so concerned about Rupert Murdoch's pockets or Bob Iger's stock portfolio with Disney? Why do we care, number one? Number two, I think it's on the league and then the media personalities around it. I genuinely do. Because if you look at the NFL, we joke about, oh, Rams versus Cincy, who's going to watch? Well, obviously 50 million people are going to watch. Because the NFL makes a concerted effort to make Joe Burrow the sexiest man on the planet. Now, that might be a tougher task with Nikola Jokic, but with Jimmy Butler, I mean, he is the most sexy man in the league right now. I just think that you guys you don't think he is? I just think that you guys are so obsessed with almost carrying the narrative for these big media companies. And instead we need to be like, holy shit, what a run. Like, Jimmy Butler has just solidified himself as a top five player in the NBA. Like, I think given the bubble run and given this year, that's how we should evaluate. And then Nikola Jokic, the rightful MVP, but it's not cool because he didn't the fact that he didn't win the MVP because the narrative around him was that he couldn't get it done in the playoffs, that has to be one of the funniest fucking things of all time.
That's not why he didn't win it.
That is why he did not win it.
We're not doing
that.
We're not doing it.
That is why.
We're not doing it. We're not doing it. Are you done?
No. The last thing is, on that point, but now he's gotten there. And so if you acknowledge what Jokic does with a healthy Nuggets team, it's Western Conference Finals. And then his guys are hurt, and then he's fully healthy, and now he's the one seed, and now he's in the NBA Finals. And who doesn't want – Jokic is unbelievable to watch. He's the best passing big in the history of the league. So I think it's on us to promote this, whoever it may be. If it's not Boston, Miami and Denver, we don't need Bron. Yes, the ratings people, there's no doubt that Bron versus the Celtics, Lakers Celtics, that would have been the dream for them. I don't give a fuck about them. I want to enjoy the NBA Finals, and some fresh blood is some good thing for the league.
Do you want tissues?
I'm not crying. I'm just calling you a cop. I'm calling you. You're carrying water. You're carrying water.
The beauty of it all is that you have your own media company and can post as much as you want about Nikola Jokic.
But you, I need you to watch the game.
You never have to post.
I want you watching.
Jack, you never need to post about Jay. The world is in your hands. You control the media as a media member. You've got it twisted. I don't care about the ratings. I don't care about Nielsen. I don't care about Bob Iger. I care about vibes. It's the fucking Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. Come on, dude. Like,
that's
not,
what I mean.
Not,
you say that as if he's not one of the most entertaining players in basketball.
Yeah, he's great, but he's not entertaining, right? He's not cool to look at. He's not going to give you cool quotes in the post. Jimmy Butler, sure, there's an angle to be made on that. But, like, the coolest thing about the Nuggets team is the video that came out about Jamal Murray 2 years ago. That's the coolest thing this team has to offer. The crowd sucks. Jokic is ugly. It's like, listen, I know what you're saying.
I do need to clarify. You just said the coolest thing about the Nuggets is the Jamal Murray video that came out 2 years ago. Abe is talking about a Michael Malone post-game press conference because there was a Jamal Murray video 2 years ago that, whatever, carry on.
Anyway, that's what, like, of course, nobody, like, really cares about the new guy coming up. Like, Suns, Phoenix, there was going to be a new king. There was going to be a new person that won a title and a new narrative behind that, just like there will be with Jokic or Jimmy Butler. And to be honest, whichever one doesn't win it, if those two face off in the finals, there's probably, they probably don't get their flowers, right? They lost. No one gives a fuck. They're going to be ringless. Mm-hmm. And in 10 years, if they don't go to the finals again, it'll be like it was one run. They couldn't get it done. And that's the narrative behind them. Like, just because they're making the finals doesn't mean like they're automatic. That's how the NBA works. It's like one little thing happens and it's generalized into this big statement and narrative behind you. But like, as a man, Jack, look me in the eyes and tell me that Nuggets versus Heat NBA Finals is cool. You just love ball and everything it has, and you'll watch it if it's Hornets Bulls or no matter what it is. Is that what you're trying to say?
But the Bulls, the Bulls used to be cool. That's what I'm saying. Is why can't we make them cool? They play in Denver. The people are getting high. They're at high altitude. Like,
you have your own company, baby. Go for it. Make the Nuggets cool. 2023. Go get them, Jack.
All right,
see how
that's
many
my
people
mission.
Follow.
That's my
mission. Cuck of the week. And this is, I think I'm getting out ahead of myself right now, but I'm just going to do that thing where I say something happens and hopefully it does, is the PGA Tour. It's happened. Brooks Koepka appears to be back, had a great Masters, and now is about to win the PGA Championship as part of
Not so
week.
Fast. A lot of golf to be played.
Said. I know there's a lot of golf to be played, but I'm just calling the future, and Brooks won. Okay, Brooks won the tournament. And I just find it hysterical how a bunch of old white dudes are going to be so pissed that somebody from another league that's getting paid $400 million came and won one of their biggest tournaments. I like the drama behind the LIV and the PGA, not from the players, because I actually don't think they give a shit. I think they're all kind of friends and like, doesn't really matter. Maybe like Rory kind of does because he was the hardo on the front lines of the PGA Tour has tradition. Like, I want to be remembered as a tour guy. So maybe he's a hardo in that regard. But for the most part, these guys are friends. It's the people that are just writing checks and can try and control everything that is probably this is eating at them. And that's just the hating that I like to do that I think is pretty funny. So I think it's funny that a LIV guy is about to win a major. And since I said this, Brooks is probably going to fall off and not win this tournament.
Yeah, he'll definitely choke down the stretch again. But speaking of ratings, LIV Golf has paused releasing their TV ratings. It's probably not a great
sign. Did you see what happened last week?
What happened?
They had an event in Oklahoma, and three guys, I want to say it was like DJ Brooks and somebody else, went to a three-hole playoff. And the LIV is broadcasted on CW, like we're used to watch, like freaking Friday Night Lights and God knows what other sitcoms or shows that were on when you were home from school sick. And they cut out. They didn't. They just at the allotted time when the program was supposed to end the golf tournament, they just cut off and put on like infomercials as their golf tournament is going to a three-hole playoff. So they can write checks, but they cannot control the streaming right now.
That's tough. All right, let's talk Mage really quickly. So yesterday I was at the Preakness in Baltimore, a little homecoming for the boys. If you've never been to Preakness, we're going to do a cool thing in the YouTube video kind of showing you. There's two sides to Preakness. There's the horse racing, gambling side, and then there's the infield. The infield is where people are just getting hammered. They don't even know horses exist, capped off with a Bruno Mars concert last night. So when we got in the infield, we were feeling the old vibes. Like that's what you did in high school. And when you would come home from college during the summers and you go to Preakness, party in the infield, have a blast. So we kind of played both sides of that. As far as the race, we had a ton of like positive and optimistic caution, I would say. Like they knew that Mage was the favorite in the race. They knew that after the 8 horse got scratched, it was between him and the 1. They knew what they had to do. And honestly, most of the horses ran a really strong race. Like National Treasure got out to the lead, which was fine. And Mage was sitting in that middle pack in the 3 spot and then came around the turn. And literally the exact same image that I saw of Derby, where he just came, got to the outside, and then was just going to take off. And he just didn't have the juice. And that's part of most horses are rested at least 4 weeks, at minimum 4 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks. That's what makes the Triple Crown so difficult to achieve. And then he was facing off with all fresh horses in the Preakness. None of these horses ran in the Derby. So a great horse, a horse I will never forget, but an unfortunate ending. He will not be going to the Belmont Stakes in 3 weeks in New York. But what a ride, what an absolute ride. And you know what? We lost some money on the race, but definitely did not leave Baltimore, with less than I came with. So how about that, Abe?
Are you on the greatest heater of your life right now?
I think if Mage had won, no, yes, I am. I am still, regardless of that, it is the greatest heater of my life. It's a question I think that I was responding to is, will this be the greatest heater of my life? That I don't want to come to terms with.
Yes. Yeah, you're done. Your betting career, Jack, it's probably a fantastic feeling to hit your peak, regardless of what it is. For all I've known, I've hit my peak, Jack, and I'm down in my life, right? But yeah, your betting career, you've got the Mage winnings and then you've got your parlay from your day at Camden Yards. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, right? I'm rooting for you. I truly am. Come on. This is the market. It's going to correct itself in a very large way.
So I think to counteract the market, it's just lessen the units, lessen the volume, and just get back to your roots. And I think that this is kind of the agenda that sports gamblers push is like, you know, the only people who lose in sports betting, you know, are the ones who give up. I do believe.
Are you a quitter?
Right. I do believe, though, that I mean, I've probably fired 100 of these same stupid ass parlays in my life. And that's essentially what they are. But I do think if you stay within your unit control and you fire enough shots, I mean, the odds are that you actually will hit one of these. Like that was a 100-1 bet. True odds on it, probably like 250-1. But if you bet it 250 times, there's obviously no guarantee you're going to hit one. But in theory, you should hit one of those every 250 times you place it. So if you can just stay within.
Keep going.
But obviously the way odds work, you might miss out on those. You might take 1,000 of them and never hit. Or you might take 3 of them and hit 2 of them, right? That's just how it works. So I think I was due for one over the years. But like you said, that just means there's 249 more of these to go before I can even think about hitting another.
Yeah, I think you just get involved with Jackie Dingers this summer every day, and that's your only course, and then we'll truly see if you've peaked or not. And when you run out of your balance, all on Jackie Dingers, baby.
Yeah. I withdrew the balance. I withdrew the balance. We're playing with the house money at this point.
There you go.
The internet graphic of the week. Which player do you want taking the last shot? Out of the conference finals teams, Jamal Murray, Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James. I just think this graphic is funny in general because
LeBron's
it kind
of
goes. Well, I was going to say he's obviously dead last in this right now, but because I think this is what shows it's such a wing guard heavy league that like literally the best player in the playoffs isn't even considered. Not to mention, Jokic is actually one of the clutchest players in the NBA. He's hit a lot of game-winning shots. So
in the regular season. Embiid
yes,
was
in
one
the
of the
regular
clutchest
season.
In the regular season, too. I don't think it fucking matters.
No, Embiid was more...
No,
I feel
he
like
actually
Embiid,
was.
He's in clutch time. But I'm talking like Joel Embiid rarely is taking like long-range shots. The only one that comes to mind is the one against Toronto. So... Who are you taking? I think we're both not taking LeBron James.
The answer is Jimmy Butler. Like, I'm sorry. You know how I feel about Jason Tatum. He's fantastic. I'm back on that he's not a superstar because I don't think he can continue to just... He can't be trusted. He can't be trusted. He's very volatile. And Jamal Murray, it's been... He's sick, right? He's a great basketball player. People kind of forgot about him over the injuries over the last few years. That's just how it goes when you're in Denver and naturally with the injuries. And Jimmy Butler is just, he does it every time. Like, Jimmy Butler, this is him in the playoffs. And, like, now you just expect it. The answer is Jimmy Butler at this point.
I'm going to go differently. I'm going to take the same concept, which is at this moment, who would I want? And I'm going to go with Jamal Murray because LeBron James, obviously not. Jason Tatum, I'm kind of in agreement with you. I trust him to be able to take all the shots, and I don't think he fears the moment by any stretch, but like he does come up short time and time again in the clutch in the fourth quarter. Now, could he make the shot and would I be shocked? Absolutely not. And then I think between Jamal and Jimmy, the biggest thing for me is I still do not trust Jimmy to take the three-pointer. And I just think that adds such an element to it. Jimmy missed the three against Boston last year in game seven. He took the shot. So if I'm down three or down two and I want to tie the game or win the game, I'm going Jamal Murray. He just seems like he's on it. He scored, what, 50 points in three quarters or something? Like, he's just on fire right now.
You're taking Jamal Murray over two games. That's your data to use right now. I'm taking Jimmy Butler off just what he always does.
That's not true, though. Like, why are we... Oh, now the bubble doesn't count. Like, when does the bubble count? I don't understand.
When it's convenient.
Jamal... Right, when it's convenient. Jamal Murray, when healthy, that's the sample size, has come up huge in the playoffs over his time in Denver. So... That's the sample size I'm rolling with. We head to the Discord for our Monday mailbag, and Zane G24 asks, what NFL team is in the worst spot for the next 3 years? For some reason, Eagleson said, I changed this question to what team is the worst future at this very moment in time. Pretty much the exact same thing. Let's just acknowledge that 1 year in Canadian college is not a long time.
I think he
so.
Was trying to reword the question to make it so that, like, if we one of us said the Finns, he would have an argument back based off the specific wording in the question. He just got scared that one of us would say the Finns, but I'm not going to go the direction of the Finns. When I think about this question, who's in the worst, what did he phrase it as, direction, future, whatever he wanted to call it, I think of a few different things. I think of, do I consider your franchise a real franchise? Because if that's a vibe thing, right? Like, sorry, Eagleson, but like, I don't consider the Dolphins a real franchise. So that's where you fall into. Do you have talent? If you don't, you're on to the next round. The Finns have talent. So there we go. Eagleson, you're off the chopping block. Do you have a quarterback and do you have direction? And is your front office competent? I didn't really go through all the teams, but one that stuck out like a thumbnail or whatever this saying is, just looking off that criteria, is the New Orleans Saints. They've yet to just start all over, go with their new guy, their new quarterback. They're trying these old quarterbacks. They're trading draft picks rather than acquiring draft picks. And it just seems like they're holding on to this idea that they could have a really good defense and just plug in a random quarterback there and hopefully it works or something. And look at the teams around them. You have Carolina in their division getting younger, starting over, getting Bryce Young. You have Atlanta doing the same thing. Atlanta's a whole different story, but and then you have Tampa, which is starting over as well, it kind of feels like, since Tom. So I feel like the New Orleans Saints, I've said this before, are one of the least self-aware teams in the NFL, and that's a recipe for disaster for your future.
Okay, I like that. I use similar criteria. The thing that I think factored in most was the mediocrity. You know, the worst spot to me is a team that's not going for it. So I'd rather be at restart with draft picks, with salary cap, with a quarterback that I think is, you know, going to take the next step. And I think this team embodies none of it. And all they've embodied is they're kind of like the Heat. They're kind of like the Heat, but they don't have the Jimmy Butler and they don't have what I consider the Eric Spoelstra, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They bank off a lot of what they've done historically. They bank a lot off of being this tough-nosed, hard, you know, overperforming team. That's great. They haven't had a losing record under Mike Tomlin. But here's some other statistics that I find very interesting when you talk about the Steelers. They've missed the playoffs in 2018, 2019, 2022, in three of the last six seasons. They have not won a playoff game since 2016. They lost after going starting 10-0. They lost to the Browns in the postseason. So where do they sit? They sit with this idea that Mike Tomlin's a really good coach, yet he's literally one of the worst road coaches in the NFL. They sit with this idea that they have this amazing defense when in reality it's middle of the pack and is pretty much reliant on TJ Watt. And then they're sitting in this very awkward spot where they're kind of now all in on Kenny Pickett, but they're also extending Mitch Trubisky, and no one even knows if Kenny Pickett's good. All while factoring in that the AFC North quarterbacks are locked up, Burrow to be soon, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. They're the fourth best team in the division. And what's going to continue to happen is the Browns will Browns, or the Bengals will Bengals, or Lamar will get hurt, and they'll finish third or even second in the AFC North and almost make the playoffs. And Steelers fans will be like, we were the worst team. We're projected to finish last in the division, and we finished here, and we won 9 games, and we went 3-3 in the division because we know how to play these teams. But you're nowhere close to getting anywhere close to where you actually want to be. So I'm going with the Steelers, and I got a little fired up about it. So I hope Steelers fans feel that, because I think they're stuck. And that, to me, is the worst place to be over the next 3 years. I think you muted yourself.
I did because there's loud ambulances in the beautiful city of New York. What I was saying was that felt a little personal, a little bit, but at the same time, you did come with good supporting arguments, so I'm not going to say that it's biased. Where I'm going to disagree with you, though, is that if I'm a Steeler fan and I am trying to argue against you, the number one thing I'm holding on to is that, like, they can convince themselves that they have a future with Kenny Pickett. Whereas the difference with the New Orleans Saints is, like, Derek Carr, we know at this point, and it's like you can still, if you have a young quarterback who is still, we don't know much about him yet, which you can say Kenny Pickett's bad, but like he can make a jump. Like it's not crazy to say that he won't, and he can't be the guy in Pittsburgh. So I would argue that anybody having a young quarterback, their fan base can easily spin it into, well, what if he is the guy? But like, I don't think New Orleans can do that with Derek Carr. I don't think a lot of teams can do that with those middling of the pack quarterbacks, plus no cap, plus no draft picks, plus just mediocrity on the roster. That's where I have the
Same
space.
vibes as Vegas. I get what you're saying, Jimmy G. Like, we know what these guys' ceilings are, but where I'll push back, and I get it. Pickett came up huge in a lot of big moments last season. So that's where I think fans can be encouraged. But if we were to take the potential and what we thought of all the young quarterbacks in the league, obviously the four that got drafted this year, you know, the few that are going to get the contract, like Fields, they all are projected to be better players. Like Pickett and Mac Jones are in the same tier of like, yeah, they could be good, maybe, but like, even if they are, how good is Kenny Pickett going to be? Like, I don't know. I just don't see it. But you know what? If you're the Steelers and you want to, like I said, go for it. Take Kenny Pickett, lock him up. Special shout out to the Dolphins because they're lost. They think they've got it, but they don't. But they'll find that out soon.
You said it, not me.
Eagleson. I would say the team in the worst spot over the next 3 years is probably the Maple Leafs. So if you want to come. Speaking of ratings, NHL playoffs, everyone always says how fun they are. We had a quad overtime game. There's been a load of upsets. Panthers are, you know, up 2-0, going to home ice. SoFlo, Eagleson's tried to attach himself to that via Dolphina. Hey, Dolphina, how are you doing? Do you even see what happens in the hockeys?
I haven't watched a singular. Actually, that's not true. I watched a little bit of whatever the Leafs got eliminated that night just to feel something. But the timeline from what I've seen has said that these playoffs have, like, everyone knows the NHL playoffs are kind of just usually the GOAT and the best. But this year has been a big disappointment. And these last four teams, people kind of aren't really vibing with as well. But, hey, man, you're a part of the new vibe. You want to bring up the new guys. So maybe, Jack, this is your type of NHL playoffs.
I was going to say, it just sounds like you're doing the same thing you were doing with the NBA.
I'm not saying that. I don't have an opinion.
I'm asking
Abe. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. I'm telling you what I am seeing. Simple as that.
Yeah.
But I will say, we can add an additional cuck of the week, Jack. Didn't you think that hockey was like Canada's sport? Like, that's what it's known for, right?
Yeah, I've already. Yeah, but the Knights have the most Canadian players in the. Well, the Knights.
A Canadian team hasn't won the Stanley Cup in 30 years.
That's Gary Bettman's NHL for you. He doesn't want to see us win. He wants to grow the game in America, and he's been screwing us this whole time.
It's your baby, though. Like, it's kind of embarrassing.
I mean, our national sport's lacrosse. It's not even hockey, so I mean, you just kind of exaggerate this whole thing. It's true. That
thrash you in Lax.
I don't think so. It's our national sport. I think we're fire, actually.
Abe, what do you think our national sport is?
Basketball.
No shot.
What do you mean? Of course it is. Or football? Baseball. American football?
It wasn't basketball created by Canadians.
It's not our best sport if we can't even win the World Baseball Classic. Like, we weren't heavy favorites to win the World.
It's the national sport. Like, just because the Oriole is the state bird doesn't mean that.
It is. When people think football, they think America. Not football, but football.
So you guys haven't been watching any other hockey? You guys are totally not into it at all. It's been fun. Like, you're saying that, but these games have been good. Each game, the first two games for each of these series, the conference finals, have all gone to overtime. Like, that's pretty. It's Knights, Stars are in overtime right now for game two.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy for you.
The Florida Panthers. Okay. Well, my team got fucked over, but yeah. You can be happy for me.
No, that's fine. Enjoying the playoffs like I am.
That's it sounds so disingenuous. I just don't believe you.
I was, but okay.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, Carolina, Florida, sixth longest game in NHL history, game one. They were playing till like 2 a.m. You guys got nothing here.
That's why I wasn't watching, to be completely honest. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think this is probably why the regional networks are in trouble. It's why content in general is in trouble. It's why, honestly, like, all media is in trouble, is because no one wants to sit down and just watch a game because they don't know if it's going to be a good game or not. But the narrative is what drives the viewership and why people want to sit down and watch it, right? Game seven is a narrative within itself. All the stakes are coming to an end right there. But there's no, like, I would turn on Stars and Knights overtime. But I'm not going to turn on the first period because I don't know if it's going to be a good game or not. And I just feel like people are not willing to sit and see how a three-hour game plays out anymore. That's just kind of how I feel. The NFL is the only one. It's because every game has those stakes. Like, The NBA playoffs, you have to win 16 games to win a championship. The NFL season is 16 games. So every game is effectively a playoff game. So yeah, that's just kind of
why. I do agree with you there, actually. And especially with hockey, like, there's so much less storylines because some people think it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, but the guys show no personality. They don't, yeah. They give hardly any extra to draw people in for storylines like that. Obviously, it's way bigger in the NBA, and I guess that explains why their ratings are better.
Yeah.
Because you are right about that.
What a beautiful TED Talk Jack just gave on the future of content. And then the viewing experience as a sports fan and how he views.
Like, do you ever, like.
No, I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
Like, when you say you're excited for Wembanyama, do you ever, like, actually think you'll sit down and watch him play 32 minutes? Or you'll just watch highlights or tweets about
it? Spurs are in town in Philadelphia. Yeah, for sure.
That's it, though. That really is. And you're. And no, you're
I agree. Watching sports
fan.
Is pretty much watching the timeline. Like, that's what it is nowadays.
Yeah. Although there's some sickos who actually watch the sports. Like my brother watches like 9 innings of the Orioles.
Oh, I do that with the Phillies.
Do you right now though?
Yeah. No, I don't go out of my way to do it a lot, but yeah, I've watched 9 innings on several occasions this season.
Yeah. The game was
Jack, fun. Do you think it's going to keep trending that way? Like, obviously it wasn't like that before social media and Twitter and everything, right. But do you see it like continuing to go that way? Cuz that I'm not sure. Like, obviously it won't kill sports. Like, that's ridiculous, but
I would
we're all just going to be watching on Twitter in 15 years? Like,
I mean, the problem is our parents didn't have the choices that we do, and the quality of content is just at such a higher level. Like, there were only 4 channels back in the day, so you know, you watch one of the 4, and then there were 100 channels, but there were only 2 games on, you know, on out of the 100. Now I can literally watch every single baseball game. I can watch, if the game's boring, I can flip on Netflix, Hulu, HBO, cable, like, or I can consume on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter, the bite sizes of it, which I know, like, it's just like this podcast, right? The podcast might be good for an hour, but if it's not a good episode, or I see something on social media, it's like, well, I know that's probably one of the best moments from the podcast. So am I going to listen or watch for an hour to get one of the moments?
Yeah.
It's just,
you know, beautifully said, but a little contradictory to your little long-form content movement of 2023.
Well, long-form content is, this is my point, is if you can get people to watch for a long amount of time, you got power. Hence, the NFL has a lot of power. Hence why someone paid $110 million for 3 hours of content.
I actually think it's a bargain.
It probably is. I mean, what
I have no data and no money to back that up, but so for those of you who don't know, Peacock, the streaming service, bought the rights to be the exclusive rights streaming of one playoff game this year. I think Wild Card Weekend. They could fucking get Cardinals Fins or whatever, any a shit game.
They definitely can't.
They can't get Cardinals Fins. Yeah, I know.
That would be a Super Bowl.
But they're paying $110 million,
and we won't be playing Wild Card Weekend.
I'm sure there's a draft for the games, and I have no reason to believe otherwise, but I don't know, $110 million for how much money the NFL makes, especially in the playoffs, seems like a good deal.
I mean, simple math, Super Bowl commercials are $6 million for 30 seconds. They probably run what? Like, is there 100 commercials on Super Bowl a day?
Probably.
Right? So they,
seems like a lot.
They make half a billion dollars. And obviously, Peacock's play is to get as many people to sign up for Peacock. Like, it probably is worth taking the chance on it. And I would imagine the MLS streaming rights on Apple probably cost $110 million for the year. Like, that is the value of getting people to
the
watch.
MLS signed a very long, big deal with Apple. Like,
I know.
I forget what the number was.
It's probably $100 million a year. Let me look.
It
is 10-year, $2.5 billion. So $250 million for the entire season. And this is half of that in one. Literally, Dolphins, Raiders. That's what people are going to sign up. Dolphins, Raiders. No, but they'll build a narrative and they'll build up Tua to be the comeback player of the year, and they'll build up Jimmy G as the hottest man outside of Jimmy Butler, and people will pay and they'll watch. So
yeah, I mean, we're getting the one seed, so we won't be there, but yeah, I got you. Do you,
wanna,
you guys not think that the...
Do you want to bet on that?
What?
Well, we'll wait for
not
our
money. Let's make it interesting.
The bets let's come in else. The bets come in August, boys. We've got a lot to talk about till then.
Okay. All right. Do you guys not think that that's like bullshit though, that they can just have this one exclusive game on Peacock of all places? Like, are people not just gonna pirate it? Like, are you guys actually, you guys have Peacock? I don't even think we have Peacock in Canada.
I do have Peacock. Everyone's coming over to mine. I'm charging them $5. Party. $5 a quarter. If you want to watch the second half, it's $10 more.
And we're building up to it. We're building up to it in that apartment to charge extra for the tickets, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. Is it bullshit? No, because the true American sport, national sport, is capitalism. And oh, baby, that is capitalism in its finest form. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming to our TED Talk on content and how to solve the NHL and how the media can do a better job perpetrating, the Nuggets and the city of Denver.
Yeah. First off, thank you. Thank you to Bleacher Report for acknowledging that the Nuggets are a good basketball team. Hats off to Bleacher Report.
It only took them 3-0 in the conference finals to begrudgingly get that out, but they did it. And like Abe said, he's a man. That is,
Bleacher Report was tracking when Bron will make his next three, like CNN tracks a manhunt. It was like, oh no, his foot was on the line for this one. It was actually a two.
I mean, to be fair, it's a little tougher to track a Bron three down than it is a man on the loose these days.
Right now,
I fell asleep last night in the third quarter. And Casey did too, but one of his friends had come over, and they literally woke us up to be like, yo, Bron just made back-to-back threes. Like, that's how rare a situation it has become.
I think that's right, more man. Indicative of how crazy Bron sexuals really are.
That too. All right, big week on the horizon. Not really, but Memorial Day coming up, and I hope everyone has a great week. So much love. Peace.